At the end of this tumultuous week in politics came this. Susan Breaux, the mother of Charlottesville victim Heather Heyer, said this morning on Good Morning America that she will not speak with President Trump because he equated the counter-protesters her daughter marched with the torch-bearing neo-Nazis and white supremacists who rallied against the removal of a Confederate statue. Susan Breaux spoke with Robin Roberts.
You can't wash this one away by shaking my hand and saying I'm sorry.
Is there something, though, that
I'm
you...
I'm not forgiving for that.
Is there something, though, that you would want to say to the president?
Think before you speak.
This morning, former Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney posted a scathing message on his Facebook page talking about an unraveling of our national fabric. Whether Trump intended to or not, Romney writes, what he communicated caused, quote, racists to rejoice, minorities to weep, and the vast heart of America to mourn. Romney also urged Trump to address the American people, acknowledge that he was wrong, apologize.
Well, the White House did respond to Susan Breaux today, a spokesperson telling reporters, our thoughts and prayers continue to be with her and her family. On Twitter this morning, Trump tweeted about radical Islamic terrorism. This afternoon, he meets with his National Security Council at Camp David about his strategy in Afghanistan. So let's bring in our Friday politics roundtable. Lots to talk about. Juana Summers, senior writer for CNN Politics. Welcome.
Hi there.
And Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent. Hi to you as well.
Hello, Robin.
And Ron, what is happening? I mean, conservative journalist Matthew... Oh, did you want to just start there? conservative journalist Matthew Continetti wrote a piece this morning saying Trump is not the head of the GOP. He shows no interest in the job. He's not good at it. He's head of the party of Trump, and it's larger than you think. Where are we? What moment are we in?
Matt has some purchase on what's going on there, I believe. Donald Trump is the president of Donald Trump and of the Trump administration. He has shown a growing distance between himself and the Republican Party. You mentioned Mitt Romney. Bob Corker, who is the Senate Foreign Relations Committee chairman, an extraordinarily important figure in the Senate and somebody who has tried very hard to maintain good relations with the Trump administration, has gotten some attention. I'm sure he was very measured in wanting that attention, but he said that the president has not demonstrated that he understands the character of this nation, and he questioned the president's stability and competence.
Well, actually, let's listen. We have Tennessee Senator Bob Corker, at one point considered for Trump's vice president. He was speaking at a Rotary event.
The president has not yet been able to demonstrate the stability nor some of the competence that he needs to demonstrate in order to be successful.
And Ron, while we're at it, we also want to hear from Trump's friend, Senator Tim Scott, the only African-American Republican in the Senate. He spoke to Vice News and also said that the president's remarks were indefensible.
What we want to see from our president is clarity and moral authority, and that moral authority is compromised when Tuesday happens. There's no question about that. We should all call that on the carpet.
But Ron, a poll show Republicans largely support, you know, over 50% support the president. Where are we?
The Republican Party consists of the people who voted for Donald Trump because they really liked Donald Trump and the people who voted for him because he was the Republican nominee. And that is the schism. That is the division that is happening within that party. And the great peril as we go forward, as Mitt Romney knows and as Bob Corker knows and some of these other Republicans, about 10 Republican senators at this point have distanced themselves from the president's remarks. They all understand that if the Republican Party is divided, it cannot be victorious in 2018 or 2020.
Juan, I'm going to turn to you in a second, but let's listen back to the comments that maybe are the ones that are dividing the GOP right now. This is, again, from Tuesday when the president gave that quite astonishing press conference. People are calling it a defining moment for him when the president made comments like this about certain hate groups.
And you had some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group. Excuse me. I saw the same pictures as you did.
Juana, what's your take on the president in this moment?
I think this is absolutely stunning. And no matter what happens with this presidency, this is going to be a moment that we go back to when we look at the history of the Donald Trump presidency. I think right now we are seeing a presidency that's really at a tipping point. As Ron notes, there are certainly Republicans who support Donald Trump because they like what he says and some who just supported him because he was their party's nominee. But you're seeing senior members of his party really distance themselves from him. I think we are going to see, frankly, a dismal September in Washington when lawmakers returned to Capitol Hill. This kind of distance between the president and members of his own party will not be helpful with the Republicans being able to lead and to address some of the agenda items they've been saying that they want to do for 8 years of President Barack Obama's presidency. And so it'll be really fascinating to see how they kind of move past this and get to a point where they can govern, which is, of course, what people will demand of them when lawmakers all return here.
Well, listen, Ron, I'll bring you back in. Again, you ask, what moment are we in? You know, we're asking that. Is it huffing and puffing and, you know, a lot of elbows thrown and upset? Or we are just hearing reports that the Democrat Nancy Pelosi is saying that she'd endorse a call for censure. And Politico is reporting that one has been drawn up.
The likelihood here is that every individual member of Congress, House and Senate, is making a calculation as to how this week is going to affect his or her political future and how they feel about how it affects the nation's future. And they're all going to be called upon. They're on recess. They're back home. Many of them are meeting in one way or another with constituents and citizens. And they're going to be asked how they feel about this. And they're going to have to decide how they parse their words, how they identify with their own party if they're Republicans. And they're going to have to decide what they want to say about the president with a thought ahead to getting things done in September and beyond and a thought ahead toward their own political future.
And by the way, what would that mean, a motion of censure?
A motion of censure is just very, I mean, it's close to being unheard of, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Congress can disapprove of the president in many ways. It has many ways to send signals. There was talk back when Bill Clinton was headed towards impeachment in 1998 of using just a motion of censure instead, which might have actually worked out better politically for the Republicans. But they chose to go with full impeachment. And then, of course, he was acquitted in the Senate.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of no confidence. Yeah, go ahead.
So I was just curious, Juana, what you think about this, because Newt Gingrich was on Fox News this morning. Of course, Gingrich just stood by the president pretty steadily here. But he said that Trump is more isolated than he thinks, and he thinks that major changes are needed at the White House, perhaps, you know, referring to Steve Bannon there. But what do you make of Gingrich saying that Trump is more isolated than the president himself thinks? I mean, does Trump realize what's at stake at this moment?
You know, I think this is a president, I have to confess that I did not see Newt Gingrich's comments, but this is a president that we've seen for some times relies on his own gut and his own instincts and impulses, and we saw that very clearly this week in the way in which he spoke about the death of this young woman in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the hate and the marches that we saw in the streets with this clash between protesters. So I think, sure, there's maybe a point there that there are people who are moving away from him, that he doesn't have a lot of allies, but this is a president we've seen time and again when he was candidate Trump and as a businessman who is governed by his own impulse and his own gut, and that is the voice and the advisor that he listens to most. It does not matter whether there's a Steve Bannon in the White House or a John Kelly serving as chief of staff. He really relies on his own instincts and often uses those to override the thoughts of his advisors.
Well, Axios is reporting today that Steve Bannon's firing is imminent. Not if, but when. And we heard from Steve Bannon this week. He gave a couple of interviews, and he, you know, was gleeful about what he called identity politics and the left, you know, battling Nazis and white supremacists. He feels that's good for his cause. We'll see what happens with him there. But, Ron, I want to get your opinion on what we heard again from the president yesterday, tweeting that false story that he's used before back in February in the campaign trail in South Carolina. He told a story about General John Pershing in the Philippines, the Philippine War, the beginning of the last century, taking 50 bullets and dipping them in pig's blood and killing 49 out of 50 captured Muslim prisoners. And then he finished it with this.
And the 50th person, he said, you go back to your people and you tell them what happened. And for 25 years, there wasn't a problem. Okay? 25 years.
Okay, so where do you start there? You know, he referenced this again yesterday in a tweet. That was back on the campaign trail after the Barcelona attack. It never happened, according to most historians. PolitiFact gave it a pants on fire rating. This did not happen. It's also one of the most ignominious chapters in U.S. history, the Philippine War. But his aides last year said, we know it's a myth. We just want to tell it. We'll call it an analogy. This morning on CNN, historian David Brinkley, you know, said it's a crisis of confidence in the White House when you, I'm sorry, Douglas Brinkley, said it's a crisis of confidence in the White House when you use stories like that. But, Ron, why would he use that? It's not true.
because he got a big cheer for it when he used it in South Carolina back on the campaign trail, and because it's something that to some degree expresses the way he would like to have the world work. And I think it is probably accurate to say that he does not care that much whether or not factually it ever happened. It makes a great story, and it makes the impact that he's trying to make when he tells myths of that type.
Yeah, well, there's long memory in the Philippines and elsewhere. Juana Summers, you got a few seconds here. Your last thoughts on this week?
I think one of the big things we're seeing here is that this is a president who uses history very different than other presidents. Most presidents draw back from history to kind of bring the nation together in moments of crisis to demonstrate leadership. And this is a president who almost every time he draws back from history, we end up in this moment where we're questioning his facts. And that's a really different presidency.
CNN Politics, Juana Summers, NPR's Ron Elving, helping us look at this week that was. We got another one coming. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. Yep.